Whew. I'll say it again. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Corinthians 9. And we're starting on a new series, and it's called The Joy of Giving. 2 Corinthians 2:9. Does it sound really hot? I feel like I can hear feedback. Does it sound okay? Okay. Yeah, it kind of feels like it. 2 Corinthians 2:9. Oh, excuse me. 2 Corinthians 9, not 2:9. 2 Corinthians 9, it says 7, right? Yeah, verse 7. And it says this: So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And we've talked about this verse in the past, but we're going to see it through a different light as we look at it through the Christmas story. And how many people know that we're supposed to be Christ-like, right? As Christians, that's what Christian means, Christ-like. And so if we're going to be Christ-like, then we have to look at what happens when he was given. Okay, so that's our main verses, the 2 Corinthians 9. Now I want you to go to John 3:16, and I know all of you know this, but we're just going to look at it, because it's good to look in the Word. John 3:16, and it says this: For God so loved the world that he gave, say gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Now flip back, I promise this is the last part. Flip back a chapter and go to Luke 2. We're going to see what happened when the Lord gave. Luke 2:10. The angel is coming before the shepherds. They're out with their flocks at night, and he says to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So what's the joy about? Well, let's see. Which will be to all people, verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What did John 3:16 say? It says, For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, right? And here we see in Luke 2 that when he came, when he arrived, that was the message that the angel brought. He said that I bring good tidings of great joy. But it doesn't just stop there, right? A few verses later, we see in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a few other heavenly hosts praising God. 30 more heavenly hosts. 100 more heavenly hosts. Now, what does it say? A multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So we see the joy of giving, and it starts with Jesus. God gives his Son to the world, and when he gave his Son, there was so much joy that the heavens exploded. And as you go on and you read the rest of this part of the story in the Gospels, you see that the shepherds didn't just go back to their sheep and sit down and were depressed. No, it says they went immediately to find this baby, right? Not only do they go to find the baby, but after they find the baby, they leave and they tell everyone. Now, granted, when there's bad news, people do like to talk about it, but not generally as much or as quickly as when something happens that's incredible, right? Let me just ask you this. If you got an unexpected bill, would you be on the phone telling your friends about it? Guys, guess what? I got an unexpected bill. No, right? But if you got an unexpected check in the mail, woo, hallelujah, where is somebody to tell, right? That's how excited the shepherds were. They couldn't wait to tell someone. So this joy was contagious. The joy of giving is contagious. When you give in faith, when you give and you have a cheerful heart, I believe all of heaven rejoices. Because it says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So if they rejoiced when God gave, they rejoice when you give. Amen? So it's not just an earthly thing that we see happen. And why did they rejoice when God gave Jesus? Because they knew the end result, right? Why do they rejoice when we give? Because they know there's something good about to happen, right? It's a spiritual thing. It's an electricity thing that's almost electrical, that you can feel it. Have you ever given something to someone before? I remember, I believe it was in our first year of ministry, and we blessed a family who were having a baby, and they needed some stuff, and we were able to bless. And I remember that I was putting the things, I'd bought the stuff, and I was putting the things in my van, and I was so excited that we could give, and all the deals that I got, I was like, woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'm in the car by myself, but I'm having a party. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. That's what I kept saying. God, you're so good. You're so good. Because I was so excited to give. The joy of giving. The joy of giving. If we're supposed to be Christ-like, when it comes to tithes and offering times, you should not walk in here and go, man, I got to give again. I've heard so many Christians that's their interpretation of giving, their tithes and offerings, is like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, right? That's their attitude. God's just trying to get something from me. But what does it say? God loves a cheerful giver. So when you come in with your tithes and offerings, big old smile on your face. You know why you should have a smile on your face? Because if you're giving your tithes and offerings, it means you got something this week. And you may say, well, it's just, you know, my social securities. That doesn't matter. You got something this week. Well, it was a $10 check. That's okay. It's a $10 check. Praise the Lord. Whatever it is, rejoice when you come into his presence. Why? Because it's electricity. It just starts zapping other people around you for the good. Amen? And when you get something that happens in your life, you should tell somebody, even if it's only a small thing. Rejoice and tell someone. This last week, we've been praying for a friend of our family's, Robert. I don't know if you remember, he had the heart condition, and he got laid off work, and then lost his housing. And it's been like 6.5 months, and he hasn't been able to receive any unemployment at all. But we've been praying, and his family's been praying. And the other day he came in and he said, Mom, it's just, I just don't think it's going to happen. It just looks impossible. And I loved her response. Don't say that. Don't say that. That's not what we believe. We believe with God all things are possible. Amen? Thank you, honey. And guess what happened last week? The impossible happened last week. He got a check in the mail, not just for 1 month, not just for two, not just for three, but for all 6 months of back pay, he received his check. Woo! Amen, right? What does that show us? That shows us that we can never give up. We have to keep standing in faith. We have to keep believing. Amen? But you know what the exciting part is that my mom talks to her mom, his mom, and the electricity goes through the phone as she's sharing the miracles that she's seen in her life financially. And then those stories go back to Robert. Do you see what happens? It's the shepherds walking around telling everybody what they saw. Why? So they can encourage people and get other people excited too. The joy of giving. There is such joy when you give, not only for you, but of course the person that receives. Amen? But the joy of giving. We should come to the Lord with a cheerful heart when we bring our tithes and offerings. I'm excited about this series. Are you excited? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for your word today, that you love a cheerful giver. And I just pray, Father, in this house, that you would find lots and lots of cheerful givers. Help us, Father, to always share with others when there's something that you bless us with in our lives, no matter how small or how great. Even if it's just a deal at the store that you got a discount you didn't expect, help us to share that, because that's a blessing, Father. That's a blessing that we can share with others, that we received a gift, and that it'll be like electricity, Father, going to people around us, encouraging them, maybe people that are in a slump, Father, that you would just encourage them through our testimonies, Father. And we just thank you and we praise that there is going to be such joy in this house every time we give. Whether it's in our tithes and offerings or for a special event, Father, there'll be such joy as we give. And we just praise you and we thank you. Bless every seed that's sown today. Bless the sower. Let them reap a hundredfold harvest so they can continue to give to every good work. And everyone said, amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, stretch your hands out toward the giving baskets, and let's make a declaration of faith. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, go to the north, south, east, and west. I call in my harvest. Debt cancellation, inheritances, raises, bonuses, checks in the mail, increase, the supernatural blessing of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. Give God a great big shout of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Thank you, honey. Such beautiful words and music. Shelly just finished a whole month of teaching on the radio. Amen. The Redeemed Life radio broadcast throughout the entire month of November was Pastor Shelly. And she did a marvelous job. And, you know, I should mention, I've never really mentioned this, but if you do want to sow into, give towards the radio ministry, it's $100 every week. So you're welcome to sow toward that anytime you want to. And it's just an outreach going out to be light to the community. And newspaper ads are about $1,000 a pop. Now, the money's already there, but if you want to sow into it, you're welcome to, is the point. Amen? So, praise God. Is that okay to say, Pastor Shelley? Amen. Just so you know, amen? Because sometimes it's like, man, I didn't know I could give toward that. Of course you can. Amen? Because sometimes your pastor's kind of out ahead, and it's like, man, let's do this, let's do that. You're trying to move with the Holy Ghost, and perhaps we should involve the family. And let you know you can give toward that. I see what you're saying about a little ring in the speakers now. So, hey, Lane, do you mind just taking a look at the volume and seeing if, I know this one is off, so we're probably good, but I just hear a little bit of, so hallelujah, praise God. Well, let's pray over this message today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. Somebody say, today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for the wonderful things that you're doing in our lives, in our homes, our community, our nation. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say, amen. Amen and amen. Well, I'm so excited about everything God is doing. And we just got to keep our eyes on heaven and on Jesus. Amen. And I know we're technically into the Christmas season, but I still feel really impressed to spend another Sunday on Thanksgiving. Amen. And if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we started a message called The Heart of Thanksgiving. And then I wasn't here last week. Pastor Shelley did an awesome job with that word. But I think we're okay, Lane, if it's... Yeah. Yeah, I think we're fine. Amen. Thank you very much. Appreciate all my family for being such great helpers all the time. Amen. Church is a family operation. Amen. And it's an extension of your family, too. Amen. Isn't it great to have a family, a church family? Praise God. But we're going to spend another Sunday on Thanksgiving. It's great to have a thankful heart. It's still November. And sometimes I feel like we just rush through Thanksgiving to get to Christmas. Praise God. And I love Christmas. Christmas, I believe I'm going to be ministering on a message for a couple Sundays entitled From Gloom to Glory. So I'm excited about that. In January next year, I feel a theme developing in me. God usually gives us a word, a prophetic word, a theme for the year. And I really believe our theme for 2021, Brother Copeland has already prophesied that it's going to be the year of the local church in 2021. Somebody say hallelujah. It's good to get excited about prophecy. Amen? And the prophetic word has kind of been under attack this past year. It's like, well, where is it? You said this, and you said this, and the opposite's happening. That's because there is a devil we're fighting against. And if you haven't noticed, the devil is a liar, right? And he comes to steal the word so he can then kill and destroy. So what do? We resist the devil. Amen? And that brings me to the theme for 2021. I believe a couple things, twofold. It's going to be a year that we focus on God's great mercy. And I believe in January, we're going to kick it off. We always do a vision day the first Sunday of the year where we talk about the vision of the church and prophetic words, and it's so awesome. You can actually hear the vision day from this year on our website. I think it's on the contacts page or whatever, but I'm so excited about it because if ever you look at anywhere in the Bible where God expresses his mercy toward his people, simultaneously, there's also judgment. When you think about the children of Israel, mercy toward the children of Israel, judgment on Egypt. Mercy on us, judgment on Jesus. Amen? Just a couple of examples. Amen? So we're going to be talking about God's great mercy. We're going to be experiencing his great mercy. Over the next 2 weeks, we need to be believing God for his great mercy toward our nation. Amen. Be praying it. The other thing is, Jesus woke me up this couple weeks ago and reminded me, because I've been going through, a little bit of discouragement, this kind of stuff we're all dealing with. What in the world, And he woke me up. First thought was, Steve, fight the fight of faith. So we're going to be talking about the mercy of God and fighting the fight of faith, as far as I know, throughout 2021. How many know we are in a spiritual battle? Amen. And it's good to remember our battle is not against people, it's against the devil. Amen. And I'll tell you what, honestly, from my heart, I feel such a yearning, a compassion for our governors, for left-wing leadership. I feel such a compassion. I don't hate them, right? I don't agree with them. But it's like, how could anybody be that messed up? Amen. And so we pray for them. Amen? But the idea is targeting, getting our eyes on Jesus, off the people. Amen? And really pressing into the mercy of God and fighting the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. I'm excited about it. But today, let's come to today. Our foundation text. And if you do have your notes page, I apologize. The dates are off the, because obviously I wasn't here last week. But this is part two of my message. And really part three of the Thanksgiving messages, because Shelley certainly did an awesome job last week. But Colossians 2:6-7 in the Amplified Version says this. As I have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord. How many of you have received Jesus? How many know it's important to receive Jesus every day? Amen? I'm so excited about the ad that you're putting in the Columbian on Saturday. Is going to say, let every heart, and then in big letters, prepare him room. And then the nativity under it. It's going to be awesome. Amen? But even as believers, we have to be continually reminded to be continually receiving Jesus. I remember hearing, who's the doctor at Bishop Butler's church, the brain surgeon? Doctor, it'll come to me. But he's a tremendous believer, and he was sharing that, you know, how the brain works and these kind of things, and he says, as believers, we need to be literally every 10 seconds coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus. And when you think about it, a drug addict, a gambling addiction, an alcoholic, a pornography addiction is constantly, like compulsively, I just have to do it. I just have to have my heroin. I just have to have my fix. I just have to let it ride because I might win this one. I just have to look at those images. I have to think these thoughts. Oh, no, no. When you're a born-again believer, we are compulsive believers. I just got to get more of Jesus. I just got to get more of Jesus. I just love Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Right? Somebody say, I'm a compulsive believer. Every 10 seconds, I'm coming to Jesus, and I'm coming to Jesus, and my thoughts are returning to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says this, so I regulate my life and conduct myself in union with and conformity to Him. In union with and conformity to Him. I have the roots of my being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him. Notice how much it's saying in Him, right? Becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. Some people think there's such a thing as having too much God, right? Somebody say no. You think I'm saved today, just wait till tomorrow. You think I'm serious about Jesus now, just wait till next Tuesday. Amen? That's what a lot of our government leadership thinks. Oh, you guys are way too, you're just wacky, man. Somebody say, you think I'm wacky now? All you chumps, all you, what'd they call us? Chumps and deplorables. All you deplorables, oh, you think I'm deplorable now. Somebody say, come to Jesus. Amen? Our eyes are on you, Lord. Praise God. I'm becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as I was taught, in abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Somebody just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But that word, in union with Him, fellowship is the big word for us this year, being in, and always, but a reminder this year that we are to be in fellowship, continual fellowship with Jesus. And being in church is a big part of that, because fellowship with one another is a big part of being in fellowship with Him. We can't separate those two things. You can't just say, I don't need church. Me and Jesus, we gather together at the laptop. Oh, praise God for the laptop. That's like a little vitamin supplement. I enjoy watching Eagle Mountain and Kenneth Copeland Ministries, but I also need a local church where I am involved and connected, and I actually see real people, and they know me, and I know them, and I have a pastor, and I have a church family, and I have things that I do at my church. Amen? It's called being in unity and conformity with Jesus. But 2 Timothy 3:1-7, we talked about Pastor Rick Renner's letter last time, and you can listen to that message from 2 weeks ago. I guess it was the 15th? No, you were the 15th. So it would have been the previous Sunday, I believe. But 2 Timothy 3:1-7 says this, "But know this, that in the last days," somebody say, "You are here." And if Jesus was saying in the last days, how many know, boy, we must really be in the last days, right? "That perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents," even talking about kids here, right? And here we go, "unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts." By the way, there can be gullible men too. Just ask Gomer Pyle. Just kidding. Joke. "Led away by various lusts." We like our Gomer Pyle. He's actually a good example overall. "Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Does that sound like today that we live in right now? So much knowledge, so much knowledge, so much learning, but not coming to the truth. Right? The truth is unacceptable. Oh, we must embrace all pathways. Even Brother David Barton said that there's a high percentage of Christians nowadays that believe there are multiple ways to heaven. That's a lie. This is not true. Amen. So we're people who love the truth. Amen. We're thankful people. And Brother Rick had his letter last time. We read it about remembering to not be unthankful, allowing unthankfulness to creep in to our lives. And I shared the story last time about meeting a liberal governor on a job a number of years ago. And just the desire of my heart was just to say, "Sir, thank you for serving the state of Oregon." Doesn't mean I agreed with his politics, but you're honoring the office. Amen? And that's a big difference between God's people and the world's people. Is I know the world is saying, "Don't hate, don't hate, don't hate," but they are the ones who hate. Right? The church, we love. We love the truth. We love God. We love people. Amen? So there's a big difference there. But the word perilous means the idea of reducing the strength. So the devil, if the devil can't shut the church down completely, he just wants it to be weaker. Just weak, you know? I don't like a weak cup of coffee. Amen? It does nothing for you. Or if you've ever gotten a bottle of like Dr. Pepper and twist the knob and pour it, or get it out of a fountain and it's flat. No fizz. No fizz means no fire. So if the devil can't shut it down completely, he just wants to weaken it greatly. I mean, who wants to join anything weak? Right? It means difficult, dangerous, furious, fierce, to lower as into a void, to let down. How many know that's what the Lord was reminding me of the other day? "Steve, don't let down right now. I know you want to just go drink eggnog and watch Elf and get a dozen donuts." Right? Don't let down, Steve. Somebody say, "Don't let down. Keep your guard up. Keep your armor on." Who knows the armor of God, right? "My loins are girt with the belt of truth. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I have the breastplate of righteousness, which reminds me that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The helmet of salvation. I keep my mind on Jesus. Above all, it says, take what? The shield of faith. Faith, I love the definition of faith. Reliance upon Jesus, upon Christ for my salvation, and constancy in such profession. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, does that sound like you're going to a ballet? Right? No. We're not going to a ballet. We're going to a battle. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. And it means the word strike, perilous. The devil is striking out. Oh, that's a prophetic word. The Holy Ghost has said something I didn't know until I said it. I like baseball. The devil is striking out. Because all this year, he has moved against our nation, moved against righteousness, moved against the church. It is a supernatural, nutty thing that's been going on in our country throughout this year, right? Right down to this past few weeks. So what do? We don't let down. Amen. Keep our eyes on Jesus. We don't reduce the strength. In the next couple weeks, church, between now and the 14th, is really this window of when they're reviewing how this election went and so forth. We need to be praying in the Spirit, praying God's Word, praying in tongues, maybe do some fasting, do some worshiping. Stay focused. Be praying. Be pressing. Amen? And not just this two-week window, but this is a huge two-week window. I really believe how this turns out will probably affect like the next 40 years of our country. That's how big this is. Right? And God is bigger, but we have to be people that press. People that press. Amen? Not letting down. Even though it seems difficult, dangerous, furious, right? We're not lowering our shield. We're staying in an attitude of faith and prayer and praise and pressing. Hallelujah. But I want to read to you this entry from the Faith to Faith devotional from November 14th. I really believe this applies too. This is Gloria Copeland, and it says this. And if you want to open your Bible again, we've been open here for about 2 weeks now, 3 weeks, Psalm 62. And we will actually read it today. But she says this, and the key verse is Malachi 3:16. I highly recommend this as a devotional, by the way. Also, Pastor Rick Renner's Sparkling Gems is a great devotional as well. But she says this, or the key verse is Malachi 3:16. When they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Faith is a big deal to God. Now, this isn't glory yet, this is me. But faith is a big deal to God. Especially when you're facing perilous times, difficult, dangerous, furious, fierce times when people are reducing their strength, letting down, right? You want to get a book. What you want is God writing you down in a book, man. Oh, look at what that church. Gabriel, take this down. Look at what they're doing. They are pressing. They are not letting down. They are not letting up. Honestly, that's why I wore a suit today. I was like, you know what? I need to step it up a little bit. And I'm just, as an example of where my faith is, I'm just going to dress a little nicer today. And what God does is he puts you in a remembrance book. Oh, I'm going to remember my covenant because these people are pressing in faith when everyone else seems to be quitting, when everyone else seems to be falling by the wayside, when the devil seems to be right up in their face. And it looks like everything that they're believing for, the opposite is happening in spades. Yet they continue to believe. Somebody say, that's a special place. Amen? Hallelujah. And she says this, have you ever noticed that those who have the most exciting, faith-inspiring testimonies are those who've been under pressure at some time in their lives? They're the people who stayed faithful when the pressure was on. People who believe God's promises of prosperity in the midst of desperate financial situations, or people who trusted God for healing in the face of a terminal disease. My friend, when you get into a hard spot, that's not the time to back out on God and begin to say, well, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? It's not the time to step back and reevaluate his faithfulness. Somebody say, oh me. What I'm saying to you is this. When tough times keep dragging on and the situations around you seem to refuse to get in line with the promises of God. That sound like it sounds like where we've been, right? This whole year, right? Don't reevaluate God. He's not missing it. He's not failing. If you're going to reevaluate anything, reevaluate yourself. I love Gloria. She just comes right at it. Look and see where you may have failed. If you still can't find out what the problem is, just say, God, I don't know what's wrong here, and I'm asking you to show me. But one thing I know, the problem's not with you, and I continue to be moved by your word and not by circumstances. Somebody say amen. Then when he reveals something to you, be quick to make changes. I want to encourage you to stand firm and keep honoring God with your words. The Lord is listening to you when the pressure is on. What is he going to hear? Somebody say, hallelujah. And then she sends us over to Psalm 62. We're close to wrapping it up here today. This is a psalm of David. Truly my soul waits for God. Oh, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. Verse 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Strong tower. Somebody say, God is our defense. Amen. Praise God for Donald Trump. Praise God for Jay Sekulow. Praise God for Rudy Giuliani. Amen. Praise God for Sidney Powell and so many others. But guess what, church? God. Somebody say, God is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Or shaken, it means. How long will you attack a man? Or we could say, how long will you attack a nation, devil? Right? Do you understand? I know we do, but what happens in this nation affects the entire world. That's why the devil wants to kill and steal and destroy everything God has been doing. Amen? How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. Does it sound like anything lately? Right? They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah, it says. Think about that. Somebody say, don't get mad at people. Don't get mad at people. But see, you know what this reminds me of when I see something like this? Where are you at, Steve? Where do you bless with your mouth? Where do you say, I believe God in something, but inwardly, amen. Verse 5, my soul waits silently for God alone. My expectation is from him. That word means hope, right? He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in my God, is in God. Trust in him at all times. Verse 8 says, you people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah means think about that. It's just good to go back and think about where he's been faithful before. If he was faithful 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, amen. They shared something that Abraham Lincoln said in his Gettysburg Address in regards to that freedom or liberty would not perish from the earth. Amen. That's a prophetic prayer from Abraham Lincoln, right? Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God.
Well, how's all this going to happen?
Power belongs to God. Somebody say, power belongs to God, right? Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy. Somebody say, mercy. For you render to each one according to his work. Somebody say, hallelujah. And I wanted to read finally to you as we wrap it up today, Psalm 118. And it says this, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Somebody say, his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Verse 5, I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. The Lord is not, somebody say that. The Lord is on my side. Or I guess we could also say, I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust the Lord than put confidence in man. Verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. I could tell you some pest control stories. Somebody asked me once, boy, you must get training on those wasp ground nests, or the yellow jacket ground nests. And I said, the yellow jackets actually train you themselves. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Somebody say hallelujah. See, these words are in this book for a reason. Amen. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that one again. On behalf of our nation right now. On behalf of the church. On behalf of the family. On behalf of local businesses. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. Somebody say, that's Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus is the gate that we walk through, right? Come on, we got 8 more verses here. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Here we go. This is Jesus here again. I love seeing Jesus in the Word, right? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Verse 27 of 29. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. For you are my God, and I will give you praise. Don't you know Jesus was bound up, crucified, so you and I could be free, could be loosened. And I was remembering this morning too, Pharaoh tightened his grip a little tighter before they were loosened. The Lord reminded me this past week, I was talking to Mom on the phone, and he was like, Steve, even the Antichrist himself isn't going to complete 2 terms. So somebody say, keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is going to, he's taking care of this thing, right? Verse 27, God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. Did you know we're not supposed to be singing in church right now? But see, we have the wisdom of the Holy Ghost, right? And we choose to honor God before the governor. Praise and worship is part of church. Amen. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That just might be one of our key chapters for the entire year next year. Amen. Guess what? If his mercy endures forever, does that include today? Does it include next year? Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand to our feet together and just thank the Lord for his faithfulness. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. The devil has struck out. And we cast him out. We cast him out with his COVID. We cast him out with his racism. We cast him out with his socialism. We cast him out with his communism. We cast him out with his sickness and disease and poverty. We cast him out with his hatred to God. And we declare, Jesus is Lord. And we are a Christian nation, ruled by Christians. People that love God with all our heart. And they're out there. Lord, we pray for them now, that you would strengthen them right now. Mr. Trump and everybody else around him and under him. His family, the Pences, their family. The Giulianis, the Powells, Lindsey Graham, all the senators. God, our senator here, Jamie Herrera Butler, God, we lift them up to you now. Oh, strengthen their resolve, Father God. Remind them that you're on their side. And we thank you, Lord, for doing wonders. For doing wonders in the next couple of weeks, God. For doing wonders through the Supreme Court, through rulings of the Supreme Court that was brought in place just in the last part of Mr. Trump's first term. And we praise you for it all, Father God. And Lord, we pray for all men, as it says, for all those who are in authority, that we would lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, Father God. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say, amen. Like, hit the gavel. So be it. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And we'll see you next week for a Christmas party.